made it to the house of God. You beat all the odds. You decided not to let traffic mess with you. You tried to not let work mess with you. You tried to not let your kids mess with you, your spouse. But guess what? You made it. You made it to the house of God. You made it where Jesus Almighty is. You made it where the Holy Spirit is welcome. Come on, give yourself a good hand clap. Look to your neighbor and say, you made it. Hey, look to somebody else and say, man, you look good tonight. Now, depending on who was next to you and how you said that, I better give you another opportunity. Because if you're next to somebody that belongs to you, I'm going to let you do it over. Say, look to that person and say, man, you look good tonight. Trust me, that'll help you later. Go ahead and be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. What an exciting time that we live in. Woo. No limits. No limits. We live in a time of no limits. And listen, we all go through unfair situations. We all are, maybe you're here tonight and you've been overlooked for a promotion. Maybe came down with an illness, a sickness, or a disease. Maybe somebody walked out of your relationship. And you know, it's easy to get discouraged and just to say, well, I guess that's life. I guess this is just how it's going to be. I guess this is just me. And maybe you're not able to do it, but I know somebody tonight that is able to make that situation that you're currently going through and turn that thing around to be what you're supposed to be going through, not what you're currently going through. You're lucky I'm a good amener of myself, because you are not helping me at all tonight. Maybe I didn't come to the right place. Maybe God isn't here tonight. Maybe you decided that, hey, I'm just going to come to church because it's a midweek. Come on. No, my God is a God of justice. He's seen everything that you're going through, every person that did you wrong, every person that talked about you last night, every lonely night you've been through, every tear that you've shed. My God knows what you're going through. He said in Hebrews, I will repay the exact compensation owed to you. Yes. It might not be fair. Maybe you're not going through a fair situation right now, but my God said, don't worry about it. Payback is coming. God's about to make what was wrong, done wrong to you, right in your path and in your eyes. Maybe you've been put at a disadvantage. Maybe you're bitter. Maybe you've got some strife in your heart. Maybe you got some anger in there. Maybe you've got some hurt in there. Maybe people took advantage of you. This ain't our battle.
Come on. All right.
Stop accepting it as yours. Yeah. I don't know about you. I came to preach tonight.
Come on.
I came to tell you like it is. We're not at a disadvantage. We're at an advantage because the Bible says the battle is not ours.
Yeah.
Come on. The battle is the Lord's. He knows what you're owed.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you don't know what I've been going through. God knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he ain't showing up. It ain't his time to show up yet. Maybe, now I might offend some of you, so if you get up and leave, people are going to know you were offended. Maybe, just maybe, God just knows the record here. He knows what you're owed. Stop saying, gimme, God.
Mm-hmm.
Stop saying, well, you said you would show up, but you ain't here yet. Maybe it's on God's timing and not your timing.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Maybe when we get to the altar, instead of crying out to God saying, give me, maybe we do what we're supposed to do at the altar and worship God.
Yes.
Come on, that was pretty good right there.
That was good.
You told me not to hold back.
Don't do it.
Yes.
God will make it up to you. Listen, people don't determine your destiny.
That's right.
God determines your destiny. And he's going to show favor because of what happened in your life. God's about to give you explosive favor, explosive blessings. What the enemy meant to stop you, God's going to use to increase you, to make you better, to make you stronger. What you went through, you didn't go through for no reason.
Come on,
yeah. Come on, what you went through, God's about to use it as an example. It's going to open new doors. Doors that you didn't think he could open up. Doors that you know no one else can open. And all of a sudden you're going to go, I never saw it that way.
Yes.
I didn't see God doing that. I wanted this open, but God opened the big double doors. See, when you're thinking about your own mind and what you think God wants to give you, you're thinking he's going to open the little door. And God said, if you would look past the little door, if you'd look past the little door, what he's got is some big doors to open up. Instead of being discouraged, let's turn it around. God's using this to bring me an opportunity to use my joy, to use my peace. God's using this opportunity to put me in love. I don't want to be in love. I want to kill him. But God's going to use that opportunity.
Yes.
We have to get to the point where we go, God, you're on the throne. I'm not on the throne. God's on the throne. He's fighting our battles. He's our victor. God is in control. One touch from God can change your life forever, can catapult you ahead. He knows how to move the wrong people out of the way.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, he does.
See, instead of us cursing our bosses,
amen.
Instead of us complaining about our spouses, complaining about our kids, complaining about our family, why not pray for them? Oh man, come on now. Everybody just smile real big. I know you didn't like that. Instead of complaining for your about your spouse, why don't you in the middle of the night, instead of taking a knife to them, like you want to do, right? You just lean over and give a give old prayer. Get the Holy Ghost up in that room. Get the Holy Ghost in that bedroom. Oh man, I am preaching so good right now. What you saying, Josh? What I'm saying is payback is coming. It's on its way. It's on its way. Keep doing the right thing when the wrong thing is happening.
Yes.
And payback's on its way.
Yes.
And guess what? Nobody pay you back like Jesus pays you back. Just ask the Israelites. They were what? In bondage for 430 years of slavery. One generation after another generation after another generation and on mistreated. Forced to work long hours. Given quotas that were impossible to meet. And I'm sure they begin to think, well, this is our destiny. This is our life now. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be for my children. This is the way it's going to be for my grandchildren. It was just, we were born in the wrong place, the wrong time, born into hardship. See, things might not change overnight, but if you stay in faith and realize that it's payback time. That God's going to turn things around. He'll pay you back for what was stolen. He'll pay you back for what was yanked right out of your life. He'll pay you back for every hardship you've ever been in. He'll pay you back for everything that was wronged in your life. God, and when I'm telling you, when God pays you back, it ain't like your spouse paying you back, which is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But nothing beats a payback. Like a Jesus payback. I don't care what your childhood was like. I don't care what promotion jumped off of you. I don't care what damage was into your reputation. When God said, I'll pay you back, that means he begins to erase the slate.
Yes.
It ain't just a little bit. He didn't just erase a little bit off the chalkboard. He didn't just erase a couple of notches. He didn't just begin to erase a little thing or two that happened to you. No, as everything was listed on that chalkboard that wronged you and put you in the wrong place, God just takes his arm and goes across the right board. And you go, what? Well, what happened to the list? I erased it just like that.
Amen. Yep.
God's watching what's happening to you. This is a new day.
Yes.
What hindered you in the past, what sickness, what disease, what betrayal, what people did to you to wrong you, that's not permanent. What is permanent is the payback from Jesus. That healing is coming. That deliverance is coming. That vindication is coming. That promotion is coming. That new relationship is coming. We were not created to do this alone. We were not created to go through this.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
God's about to pay you back just like that.
Hallelujah.
Hey, we were made in the image of God.
That's right.
He calls you a masterpiece. You might look in the mirror and go, well, this is what I got stuck with. God looks at you and says, I created you just like this.
Yes.
And he crowned you with favor, and he moved that person away, and he began to celebrate you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And at some point when the payback starts to happen, you begin to think, well, I never dreamed that life could be this great.
Yeah.
I never dreamed it could feel this good. I never dreamed that I could be this blessed.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Don't you know what I went through to be like this? Yeah, see, God's looking for somebody to make an example of. And I don't mean in the wrong way.
Yeah, come on. Yes, amen.
There ain't no rock going to cry out in my place.
Amen.
Somebody is going to get set free tonight, and I claim it's going to be me. Somebody's going to get blessed tonight, and I receive that blessing. Somebody's getting something from God Almighty tonight. And if you don't want it, I will take it.
Amen. Yes.
Getting me all worked up in here. Things are about to shift in our favor. It's closer than we think. It's closer than we think. What? Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, hey, let my people go. Did he do it right away? No, he began to wrong them. He said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't just march in here and change 430 years of history. You think Moses, just like that, was going to go, oh, God said it, okay, let me go tell some people to let a few thousand people go. It's going to take a few moments. Let me grab my iPhone real quick.
Wow.
No, Pharaoh did not do that.
That's right.
And it took a little persuasion from God Almighty.
Yeah.
Didn't happen overnight. He said, no. You can't change what has happened in the last 430 years, and God said, try me.
Wow.
He said, oh, you've been living up there in that castle, huh? How about some insects? How about you live with some frogs in your bedroom and in your bathtub and in your shower? But you know what? They went through all of that.
Yeah.
Pharaoh said, ha, 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 you can't mess with me. And God just upped his game.
All right.
God just upped his game. And that's what he's going to do in your life. When you begin to cry out to him. When you begin to step out in faith. Not silly faith.
That's right.
Faith without works is dead. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things that I cannot see. We don't step out in faith. I'm not going to step out in faith and say I can make it out the door to my bus after church. That ain't stepping out in faith. Because as hard as it is to get out there, I can crawl that way.
Come on.
Amen.
I can crawl at least that way. Even in the worst time of my life, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I can make it to my bus without any faith.
Come on.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. That ain't using faith.
That's right.
But Getting to the next place. Getting to the next place. Come on, see, some of us are looking at faith all the wrong way. We're looking at faith in our pocket. Well, what are you going to give tonight? Well, I can give $7.32 because that's all I have. Sad to say, most Christians wouldn't give all they had anyways, but got to get me some fries at McDonald's on the way home, brother. God can have most of it, but he can't have my fries. No, faith is giving all of it and sitting in your car, and I can tell you because I've been there. I wasn't always blessed. I remember, Pastor, right after Trish and I got married, and you know, we didn't have money, and even our ministry was a lot smaller, and my parents, you know, didn't really have money. I grew up really poor, and everything that my parents got and brought in, they shipped right back out.
Yep, that's what we did.
And that's what you do. Yes, thank you. Thank you for doing that. No, I meant that, really. Miss Ginger thought I was being funny. I wasn't. I was like, thank you for sowing. But maybe I should go the other way because, you know, maybe Rachel and I would have had something growing up.
Yeah.
Anyways, I remember we were married a few years, and we had a little bit of money, and God said to give it to somebody in the church. And you know what? God's so mean sometimes. It was somebody I didn't like. It was somebody that had been talking about me. It was somebody that just told somebody else the service before. I don't really like that. Every time he gets up and preaches, he rubs me the wrong way. And what's God do? Says, give everything in your pocket. Well, what he doesn't know is that I had done a job for somebody in the church, and they had just given me a crisp $100 bill. Woo. That was the only thing I had in my pocket. Now, I wished I would have had $101 because I would have slowly slipped that $100 out and justified it as it was a job.
Yeah.
And I would have gave that to Trish and said, hey, this is really what's in my pocket. But isn't God awesome?
Yeah.
He knew that was $100 bill was there. Wow. So I did everything in me to argue with God. And after church, I went up and said, slip it in your hand. I went just like this. God told me to give this to you. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I did not want to let go. I was like, please, God, tell him he doesn't want it. Please tell him to yell at me, throw it back at me, something. But I need that money back. Car on E in the parking lot.
Wow.
Didn't know where I was going to go to lunch. Didn't have food at home. Didn't get paid for a couple of days. That $100 meant everything to me, but God said, give it. So I did. So I didn't tell Trish. It's my wife, and we get in the car, and she shuts the door, and she knew I got paid that morning, and she said, where are we going to lunch? And I just hung my head. And I was just getting ready to say, well, this is what God told me to do. And I literally said, God told me, and somebody knocked on my window. When they knocked on the window, you're sitting there not in faith. You're sitting there in discouragement. You don't know what to do. You're about to tell your bride of only a few years that, hey, we're going to go home and eat whatever's canned in the, in the cabinet. And I rolled the window down, and it was one of the businessmen in our church, and he said, I've been watching you, and I've been listening to you, and I'm super proud of you. And he said, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You are one awesome man of God. And he slipped an envelope through the window. Now, I didn't know what it was. I'd never really, at that point in time, ever been blessed by anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I was still discouraged. I rolled the window up, and I go, well, Trish, I told her what I did. And she said, well, what's in the envelope? I said, I don't know. I opened it up, and it was like five $100 bills. See, what God took a little bit, What God took me in faith to give. I didn't want to give it. I didn't know how I was getting home. I didn't know how the next step was. But God knew. And the minute I stepped out in faith, it wasn't even 15 minutes later. See, God knows the timing in your life.
Amen.
Here's the Israelites left here. Some 2 million people. It took God to get involved. It took God to wreck their life, to get right up in, to get into a place, to let 2 million people go. Finally, God did some negotiating. God starts taking things that don't that belong to him, like children and plagues and all of that. And here are some 2 million people were let free. And you know, I'm sure they're excited, and I'm sure they were singing and dancing, because guess what? The dream was finally true. After generations, they didn't have to work anymore. They didn't have to be slaves anymore. They didn't have to be oppressed. They didn't have to be burdened. And this is a miracle all on its own. And they were satisfied, but God said, whoa, hold on.
Not done.
You might be free, but he says in Exodus, I will see to it that the Egyptians treat you well. They will load you down with gifts.
Yes.
So you don't leave empty-handed. On their way out, the Israelites asked the captors for what they were owed for 430 years.
Yeah. Amen.
God not only freed them, God gave them more than they could ever ask or think. Generations after generations now were being loaded down. They were once loaded with burden, now they're loaded with gold. They were loaded down with injustice, but now they're loaded down with silver.
Yes. Yep.
Loaded down with blessings.
Yes.
Valuables.
Yes.
They went in empty-handed. But they were coming out with wheelbarrows full of money and blessing. What was that? That was God paying them back.
Yes.
God saw what was unfair. Not only to them, but what the generations that they went through. God's keeping records.
Yes, he is.
God's keeping records. We're not going to come out empty-handed. God said, you're going to come out loaded. You're going to come out better than you were, promoted, stronger, healthier, at a new level. You right now might be in an unfair situation in your life, but my Bible says the Israelites went into Egypt with great distress, but came out with great abundance. What you might be facing right now is great distress. But my Bible that don't lie, my God that don't lie, said you might go in burdened, but you coming out blessed. You might go in distressed, but you coming out in great abundance. Not just a little bit of abundance, great abundance. See, how you go in doesn't determine how you're coming out. Let me say that again. How you go in does not determine how you coming out. Because some of you went in broke, but you coming out blessed. Some of you went in depressed, but you coming out set free. Some of you came in diseased, but you coming out healed and whole. Some of you came in there thinking that I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But my Bible said it's going to happen. You went in addicted and came out free.
Amen. Yeah.
Mistreated. Injustice. But God is going to vindicate you.
Amen.
God's going to pay you back. And when God pays you back, God knows what's unfair. He sees every sparrow that falls to the ground, the Bible says. Every little bird. So how much more does God see of you?
Amen.
A setback is really a setup for God to show up in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
Stop complaining about the setback and start praising him for the set free. See, if we get caught in the past, we get caught in the situation and not caught in where we're going.
Yep.
This is what most Christians do. There's the finish line. There's the blessing of God. Oh, well, you know, God's going to do something. I know. Pastor keeps preaching it. I keep giving. I keep, I'm tithing when I can. I'm doing what I can. And what they do is their mouth begins to speak and it begins to push them back. Instead of saying, greater is he that is in me. God has called me out of this. God has blessed me. It might not look good. There might be 10,000 on this side. There might be 10,000 on that side. But by God, through his strength, through what he set me free already. He did it once. He'll do it again. I fought a lion. I fought a bear. This too, God will take care of. The Bible says in Isaiah, God will give you a twofold recompense for the unfair things that have happened to you. That means God's about to pay you back. Double.
Yes.
Did you hear me? Double. I'm going to give you a twofold. I'm going to pay you back double. No limits.
Amen. No limits.
What did Pastor say during the...
No restrictions.
Come on now. Yeah. We're talking about no limits, no restrictions. What God, what the devil took from you, God said, I'm going to pay you double. Double for your trouble. It's not a coincidence. All that heartache, all that pain that you went through. We're going to be like Job. Job came out with twice the cattle, twice the sheep, twice what he had. But see, when you go through unfair situations, and we all go through it, somebody does you wrong, somebody talks about you, somebody got promoted past you, they hired from outside instead of within.
Come on.
If we look at it, instead of complaining that they did us wrong, instead of being sour about it, we need to look at it in God's eyes and say, hey, you just qualified me for double. Instead of complaining about that boss, say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. And when they go, well, I didn't think you liked me. Well, I don't. But you just qualified me for double. See, if we stay in faith, when God pays you back, you're not the same. You don't come out the same. Come on, what about Jacob? Jacob made an agreement to work for his uncle Laban for 7 years. In return, Laban would give him his daughter Rachel to marry. Jacob worked faithfully, very faithfully. For 7 years. He increased Laban's flock many times over. He made Laban a very, very, very wealthy man.
Yes, he did.
But after the 7 years, Laban changed his mind. He said, Jacob, you can marry my daughter Leah, the not so pretty one. But if you want to marry Rachel, my best daughter, you're welcome, Rachel. You're going to have to work another 7 years. But that wasn't what they agreed on. Jacob could have given up.
Yep.
He could have said, well, that's not what we agreed on. He could have threw everything in. He could have lost everything, including his life, his wife. But this was unfair. He was dishonest. But Jacob went ahead and did it. He worked another 7 years, and after the end of the 14 years, he told Laban that he was going to move back to his hometown and take Rachel and his family, and Laban felt, you know, kind of guilty because, you know, he didn't really pay Jacob anything, and he said, Jacob, if you could just work for me a little bit longer, sound familiar?
Yep.
I don't want any money. Just let me have the sheep and the goats that are spotted and streaked, Jacob said.
Yep.
He said, well, You can have, and you can have all the solid animals, Laban. I'll take all of the defects. So at that time, there were just a few, you know, streaked and spotted animals. So Laban quickly agreed. He thought, hey, this is a great deal. This is gonna be fantastic.
Yeah.
And so he was dishonest, and Laban was, and he snuck out in the middle of the night, and he removed all of the spotted and streaked animals and put them in a different pasture, you know, so they wouldn't mate with the other ones. What Laban didn't realize is that, hey, God is in control. When he's ready to pay you back, listen, unfair people, dishonest people, dishonest things, unfair situations, they don't stand a chance. Bad breaks couldn't stop God. All the forces in the darkness here can't stop bringing justice into your life. When those spotted, that's what I'm talking about. Whew. How long you been there? I like that. When those solid animals begin to mate, you know what their colored offspring was? Streaked and spotted.
Yeah.
See, God had the final say. He's not limited by the laws of nature. He is the laws of nature. Laban standing there shaking his head going, how in the world could this happen? Frustrated, he went to Jacob and he said, hey, I want to change the agreement again.
Wow.
Now, I want all the spotted, or I want all the striped animals and all the solid ones. You can have just the spotted ones. Jacob said, fine. Isn't it amazing that the next time that they all, birthing season, every single animal that came out was spotted in color. Laban once again came and said, I need to change the agreement again.
Yeah.
Now I want all the spotted colors. You can have the ones that were born just all solid. But guess what? When you realize that the blessings follow you, when you realize that the blessings follow your faith, when you realize that God's on your side, when you realize that it doesn't matter who steps in front of you, who decides to change their mind, who decides to talk bad about you, who decides to keep things for themselves, who decide, whoever it was that decided to change that agreement with you. That following birthing season, every animal that came out was solid.
Yep.
The blessings followed Jacob.
Yep.
What's that? God paying Jacob back for his injustice.
Yes.
Maybe someone's here tonight and there's somebody that's not keeping their word with you. They keep changing the agreement. They keep changing the situation. They keep changing what they promised. Listen to me tonight. Don't worry. God's keeping record.
Amen.
He's going to make things right again. He's going to make things happen that can't stop. He's going to make things happen that can't be explained. He's going to have blessings show up in your life that you can't explain it. Some of you can't even understand it. All of a sudden it gets plopped in your life. Somebody that you didn't even know you were related to left you some money. Somebody's going to roll up and give you a car, and it ain't going to be a clunker.
Whoa.
We were talking about this today. I'd never been given a car until just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
About 5 or 6 years ago, somebody called me up and said, hey, I want to give your boys a car. Now, my oldest, Jude, was, you know, a few months from driving, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. And I said, that would be great. I was out on the road, you know, preaching. And I said, can we set up a time? And so we set up a time. And he said, yeah, me and my wife will come over. He's an old farmer in Michigan. And my boys had been over there and had driven his farm equipment. And, you know, if you're from Michigan, you know, you love farmer equipment. I don't know why, but we love our trucks and tractors. And
yeah.
Except for me, I don't know. I'm like, whatever. But So he comes over and he rolls in, him and his wife, and he's got this, 1998, beautiful red Corvette. And then his wife pulls up in a 20-year-old, Toyota Corolla. And I thought, man, that car looks pretty nice. Yeah. It's running pretty good.
Yeah.
He comes up and pulls a $100 bill out of his pocket, and he gives it to Jude. Pulls another $100 bill and gives it to Malachi. And he said, boys, that's for your first tank of gas. And then he says, now open your hands. And he gives Jude a set of keys. And he gives Malachi a set of keys. And he says, now that right there is for that red Corvette right there. And I said, now, God, hold on a second. I'm the one that's been believing God for a Corvette for 30 years. You want to give my boys one? What in the world? I thought they were getting that Corolla. I was happy with the 20-year-old Corolla.
Yeah, yeah.
Brand new, like that. Awesome. God blessed him. Why? You don't see, I didn't know what God was doing.
Yep.
I didn't know what God was blessing some of my boys. See, and God right there, as I was just reminiscing on the way home with my wife, I kept saying, like, how? We barely even know this guy. And the Lord said, what you've been sowing for, what these kids have sowed you for, they're now reaping the harvest.
Yep.
See, I didn't even know. They didn't even know. They didn't know that what they were going to sow their dad for, they were going to get blessed in return.
Yep.
My kids have more favor than anybody I've ever seen on this planet. The things that come to them, the opportunities. We've been at arenas watching games up in the nosebleed, and somebody comes up and says, hey, follow me, and takes them all the way down front. It's happened more than once. Believe me, I don't know. Never happens when they're with me. Never happens where with me. No, we sit up way up top. They go with mom or they go with somebody, and they all of a sudden end up, one of my sons ended up on the player's bench for all of warm-up. No idea how. Got signatures, pictures, the whole nine yards. Yeah, no idea how. Well, I know how.
Yeah.
I know how.
Yeah.
See, when you begin to put your faith out there, God begins to bless you in ways that you didn't even know where you needed a blessing. I didn't know my kids needed to be blessed, but they were going through a hard time because what they were sowing their dad for, God showed up and said, hey, I've seen what you're going through.
Yeah.
Come on now, I'm preaching real good. Genesis 31, Laban would have sent me out without one penny, but God, seeing how unfair you've been to me, and that's why he's vindicated me and given me an abundance. An abundance. God's brought you too far to leave you now. Those bad breaks, those disappointments, the people that did you wrong, losing that loved one that you didn't expect. Listen, this is not the end. The enemy would love for you to live in discouragement.
Yes.
Love for you to give up on that dream. Love for you to give up on that vision. Love for you to give up on your marriage. Love for you to give up on your spouse. Love for you to give up on your church like you watch so many others do. But when you live in a no limits situation, those setbacks are just setting you up for a new level of your destiny. Get ready, because payback's coming.
Yes. Yes.
The enemy's done his best, but his best was not enough. Mm-hmm. God has the final word. Those years that you've been mistreated, lonely, sick, addicted, depressed,
thank you, Lord,
bottled up,
thank you, Lord,
in debt, in distress, in discontent, God is about to repay you with plenty of help, plenty of opportunities, plenty of health, plenty of resources. You're not only going to be satisfied, you will be shocked and amazed. You'll begin to tell others what God has done for you. God's about to Ephesians 3:20 you.
Yeah.
Come on, God's about to three, Ephesians 3:20 you. He's able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. Man, God is so awesome. God's saying, hey, I want you to be a blessed above all. Above all. Stop thinking small. God said, I want you to be blessed above all. But my God's so awesome that he said, hey, I'm not going to stop there. I'm about to give you an abundance of your above all. Now, above all is great. Being blessed is great.
Amen.
Yeah. Being having above all what you could ever ask or think. That is pretty awesome. Yeah. But God said, that's not enough. Hey. I'm about to give you abundance that's above all you could ask or think. Yeah. But guess what? Yeah. Come on, my God is so awesome. Yeah. He said, hey, your above all isn't enough. Stop thinking small. Your abundance that I'm giving you of your above all is not enough. Stop thinking so small. My Bible, Ephesians 3:20 said, I'm about to give you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. God's not going to give you a little bit. Stop accepting the little bit as the final answer. All of us Christians, that's what we do. We accept the little bit. Oh, this little bit of healing. Oh, that must be it. Thank you, God. I'm not saying don't thank you. Thank him for it. I'm saying thank him for it and say, hey, this is awesome. I can't wait to see the exceedingly abundantly above all. Because when God blesses you, it's above what you could ever ask or think. It's above your mind. It's above what you could ever dream up. Stop thinking a little bit. Listen, I was raised a little bit. I might look all handsome and put together now. But canned green beans and boxed macaroni and cheese was my, it's still good. I love it. That was my meal pretty much every night for about 10 years of my life. No joke, no joke. Why? We sacrificed for the ministry. We helped my father build a ministry. We helped build the church. I worked for the church for almost nothing for years. See, I begin to plant my little bit. And you put your faith on that little bit. Come on now. You put your faith on that little bit. And as you begin to activate your faith, as you begin to empty your pockets when God tells you to, as you begin to say, hey, I don't know how I'm going to get home, but God knows how I'm going to get home. If God told me to do it, I'm going to do it. If God told me to give it, I'm going to give it. If God told me to go over across town and sit in a parking lot and wait to tell somebody about Jesus, then that's what I'm going to do. You take that little bit of faith and you plant that thing. And you put your faith on it, and you put your faith on it, and you put pastor's faith on it, and you put Mrs. Pastor's faith on it, and you put your friend's faith on it, and you put your family's faith on it, and you faith it, and you faith it, and sometimes you have to faith it until you make it, and you keep faithing it and faithing it until God brings you that abundantly above all. God will exceed everything.
Yes.
You could ever ask or think. I'm living in that blessing now, Pastor. I'm a man that stands in front of you in need of nothing. God's blessed me. My bills are paid. Me and my wife are healthy. My kids are healthy. Got two boys getting married in a few months. They both love Jesus.
Yes, they do.
They both serve our God. All my kids serve God. The spouses they're about to have serve God.
Amen.
They love Jesus.
Amen.
How much more blessed can you get when your babies are in church? When your babies, they were all here last night. They didn't have to come last night. Got a couple of them working in Nashville right now for the week. And they said, well, I said, what, Grandpa's in town? You notice they didn't come to hear me tonight. No, I came to hear Grandpa. I don't blame him. He's better, but he pays more money too. You know, Grandpa's dish out the cash. Dads don't.
Oh.
Dads want the money back.
Oh. Okay.
You a Grandpa?
That's right. I'm with Grandpa.
Exactly.
Of course I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
See, when God begins to bless you, your health comes back.
Yes.
Your kids start turning. Miraculous bills become paid. Listen, I'm living proof.
Yep.
I'm living proof. I've been to hell and back, Pastor. Mm-hmm. You know what I've been through.
Yep.
I've been to a spot where I had medical bills up over into the $100,000. Watching other people get blessed. Watching other people get their medical bills taken care of. Watching other people get financial breakthroughs. Watching other people getting miracles from you know, their disease and their whatever. And here we stand at the altar holding hands as a family, crying out to God. And yet God's not doing anything. Didn't do anything. Could have gave up. Service after service. Many of you know this story. I drug my baby to that altar. Broken. Disease filled. Couldn't move. Dragged that baby boy to the altar. Laid him down to God. And said, God, you will exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, bless this baby. And you know what? Didn't happen after a week. It didn't happen after another week. It didn't happen after a month, and it didn't happen after 2 months, and it didn't happen after 3 months. Week upon week, I brought that baby in that couldn't move. And I laid that boy at the altar. And I grabbed my wife's hand and held it, and we worshiped God like there wasn't a thing wrong. Worship God like there was nothing. Why? Because praise precedes the breakthrough.
That's right. Always.
We begin to praise God like nothing happened. We begin to praise God like the miracle is already there. See, it's easy to praise Him when everything's going great in your life. I said it's easy to praise Him when everything's going great. It's not so easy when you drag your broken child to the altar in front of 500-600 other believers that you're preaching to. Happened with my wife too when she was filled with cancer. Service after service, we grabbed hands and we believed God.
Amen.
So we knew the end of the book. We knew the end. See, as we begin to praise, as we begin to put our faith in action, as we begin to empty our bank accounts, we paid our bills and emptied our bank accounts. We paid our bills and emptied our bank accounts. And as we begin to put our faith in action, our real faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, faith without works is dead.
Yep.
If you're believing God for something, now is not the time to step back.
Come on.
Now is not the time to put in the storehouse.
Right.
Now is the time to empty the storehouse. We begin to empty everything. We gave stuff away. When we didn't have money, we had to give. We had to sow. We knew the only way we were getting out of this, Pastor, was to give our way out.
It's the only way.
Hallelujah. We begin to give our way out. And I don't know, now 20, 30 something, 40 something weeks dragging that baby to the altar until one day God gave us our exceedingly, abundantly, above all miracle.
Yeah, glory!
my wife for months filled with cancer until one day God brought us our exceedingly abundantly above all miracle. It wasn't overnight. It was on God's timing. It was on God's timing.